on Monday. So we just want to pray that the Lord will be with him and just overwatch the surgeon on Monday. We want to remember our brother Ben. He had kidney stones. I think they passed, but we just want to remember him and pray, Lord, just continue to touch his body. McCafferty's are away on vacation, on a trip, so we just want to remember them. Lord, give them traveling mercies. The whole Buchanan family, they're up in Virginia, visiting family, so we just want to remember them in prayer and continue to lift Brother Keith up in prayer. Lord, continue to give him strength. And the Reynolds, they're up, I think, in Canada right now, somewhere outside of Edmonton, so we just want to remember them. Brother Aaron, he's in Georgia, and we want to remember the Arrowwood family. Mama Arrowwood, Sister Sandy, she's in hospice in Johnson City, so we want to just pray the Lord would be with her and touch her body, be with the family at this time. We want to continue to remember Sister Jennifer Cockman, that her eye would just clear right up. We've had good reports, so we just want to pray for that situation. If you have a need this morning, Brother Mark, if you'd come and just take these knees before the throne of grace, we want God to move this morning. Amen. And remember, if you remember the tithes and the offering as well.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, it's a privilege, Lord, as always, to be in your house, Father. For there's a anticipation, Lord, that we have to hear your word, Father. For there's something always, Lord, that's given, Lord, that will help us, Father, in our walk on this earth, Father. Lord, we thank you for all your mercies and your grace. And thank you for your many blessings you've bestowed upon us, Father. And we're so grateful, Lord, for you to call us, Lord, and chose us, Lord, in these last days, and open our eyes to see this great light that you shone in this age, Lord. We're so grateful for that, Father. Lord, as your word come forth, Lord, we pray that we'll be attentive, Lord, to what's said, Lord, and grasp each word, Lord Jesus, that's from you, Lord, and apply it to our lives, Lord, that we may live it, Lord, and be pleasing to you, Father. We pray you'll forgive us of our sins, O God, and help us each day, Lord, as we walk, Lord, that our lives will be an example to the world and know that there is a God that lives, Father. Lord, these needs that was mentioned, Lord, we pray that you'll grant each one of them, Lord. Sister Jennifer Cockman, Lord, we pray you'll touch her. Brother Keith, Lord, Brother Knobloch, Lord, that's going in for surgery. We pray everything will go well, Lord, and our brother will recover. And we pray for Brother Ben and for these that are traveling, Lord, we pray that you will bring them safely home back, Father. We thank you, Lord, again for all your mercies. We pray you'll bless your servant as he come forth today, Lord, to deliver your word. We pray you'll mightily anoint him, Lord, and may your word come forth, Lord, without any hindrance, Father, and accomplish that which you've determined it to accomplish, Father, we pray. Thank you, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mark, you may have your seats. Let's sing that little chorus. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Key of F. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Oh, give thanks. He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us.
Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done.
Situations that tug war in me, all day long I struggle for the answers that I need, but then I come into His presence, and all my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubts can interfere.
A place to Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid. Let's sing that this morning. And I want you now, just as we approach the word, I want you just to take time to just focus in. And, you know, we've mentioned all these prayer requests and different things that are taking place. But now I want you to think about yourself. And it's okay for you to think about yourself. And bring your need before him and say, Lord, move on the assembly and move on those special needs that are among us. But Lord, I have a problem, or I have a concern, or I have a burden, and I'm asking that you would draw near to me today. So I want you to do that this morning. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price. We place the balance of this service now into your hands, asking and praying in Jesus' name that you would move, Lord, upon this assembly today. And Lord, you know the very thoughts, the very intentions that we have in our hearts. You know, Lord, the very burdens we carry and the problems that we face, the decisions, Lord, that lay ahead of us. But God, you always have an answer of peace. And you are the God who cares about what we go through. And so we position ourselves, Lord, in that channel, and we just ask, oh God, that you would come and move upon our hearts today. And Lord, speak to us, I pray, through the word. Lord, you have a minister here who knows nothing about anything that's going on in the lives of the people. And Lord, so you have a freedom and a liberty, Lord, to speak. And I pray that would take place today, that we might leave here and say, it's been good for me personally to be in the house of the Lord. So Lord Jesus, come, I pray, and take control. Ignite our hearts, I pray, and stir us, Lord. We ask and pray all of these things in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen and amen. Sing that chorus one more time.
Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign. Yes, worthy is the Lamb.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated this morning. God bless you and welcome to the house of the Lord. Good to have all of you here today. And we're missing a lot of folks, but we are glad to have all of you here today. It's a blessing. Good to have the Doucettes back after the long trip. And may God bless you and all of you that are here. Also as well, Noah's not here today. He's in Indiana again. I was telling Joe, no wonder the price of gas is so high. Noah's using it all, going back and forth to Indiana. When he gets married, you realize it's going to go back to about $1 a gallon. It's going to be great. Goodness. We're remembering Brother Jaron's father, Brother Keith. And Brother Keith was going for some stent work in his heart, and they could not complete the procedure. So he's going to another hospital in Jacksonville. And so we just want to hold up our Brother Keith in prayer and just trust that the Lord will undertake for him as well. Great to have Brother Daniel Neumer here. Brother Daniel, God bless you. Good to have you today. And you're living in Tucson. And, you know, they say, people say about me and like my brothers and so on, that we're a strong set of genes. You know, you can kind of tell who's in the family. Well, I'll tell you what, the Neumer family also has a very strong set of genes. And no problem picking off a Neumer, that's for sure. Now, Daniel, your father, Dave, was a friend of mine, and he actually sold me my first computer. First PC, and helped me get it going and so forth. And that was back before computers were invented. I mean, a long time ago. So great to have you with us today in the family. Sister Jessica, God bless you. And for all of you that are visiting here today. Now, just very briefly, I wanted to introduce you to our brother Ronnie Capicia and his wife Deborah, who's here in the pew back there. And Brother Ronnie is a very well-respected, well-known minister in the country of Zambia. And he was a friend of Brother Harold Hildebrandt back years ago, and many other ministers from over here. And he's over visiting his two daughters who live in near Portland, Maine, and grandchildren, and has 2.5 grandchildren. And so we're excited to have him over here and stole him away on these vacation time. He was representative for Voice of God for many years over there, and decided to continue to pastor his church, and therefore got to know over 300 churches that were in Zambia. And Zambia is not a great big country, but ministered to over 300 churches there and supplying books and different things for the believers over there, and did great work in that part of the world. And we're going to be working more closely with Brother Ronnie over the years. Now, I was there in 2019, so I wanted to just show you a little, just a little sampling here, and I showed you a couple of these pictures back when. Here's Zambia, and it is not a big country. How many people would you say roughly are in Zambia?
We have about 15 million.
15 million. Wow, and over 300 churches there. That's amazing. So you can see Lusaka. Here is over, there it is, in the lower part of the country. And this is the believers are spread all over that area there. And so what's interesting is about the location of Zambia. There's Zimbabwe, the homeland, right there. Mozambique over on this side, Malawi over on this side, Tanzania over here, the Congo over here, Angola over here, Botswana and Namibia over here. And so it's very central country. And there you can see it in the gray, in the gray area down here in lower Africa. So it's really a strategic country in terms of getting around and visiting other countries there. We have a big shipment of books that is now in Malawi going over to Zimbabwe very shortly. And we're excited about getting that over to Zimbabwe. Also, as well, this is a picture that we took in his church in Lusaka, and this was Sunday morning, and I got to minister a couple of times over there, and it was really a great blessing, and those folks know how to sing and worship. And this was a minister's meeting that we had, and not hard to find me in the picture there. And what's interesting is that a lot of these ministers who were at this meeting, a lot of them who are in this picture, are ministers who came from Brother Ronnie's church, and he set them up out in different parts of the country with an assembly there, and got all those ministers mobilized and working and pastoring in their own churches. And it was just a great blessing to be able to meet with those brothers over there. We spent the day together and did a whole day session with those ministers. It was really a great opportunity for me, a real highlight. So let's click on that, Sean. This is just a little bit of the worship there in the church. Wonderful. Brother Ronnie has recently expanded that church, and this is pictures of a new addition on the end of it there, so it looks a little bit different now, and it's all rotated a little bit different, and did a tremendous job here of a new addition on the church, and that's just been done a little while ago, right, shortly, and so it just looks really great. So Lord willing, next year, we're looking at making a trip over that way, and we might, Lord willing, we'll be going to Tanzania and then Zambia here and then into South Africa. So we'll be looking forward to that next year. So you might want to, for some of you, I know you're interested in traveling and going in that part of the world, so that would be a great opportunity over that way. So if we get to Zambia. One of my things, I don't have a great big bucket list in life because I've been to so many different places. One of the places that I would really like to go is, just we'll pause that for a second here, and there we go. I was just going to say, this is Ivory Coast, and got to hand it to Brother Aaron. We've been doing the second phase of Bibles all over the continent of Africa here, and this is Ivory Coast receiving a first shipment there this week, and they're very excited to be getting those Bibles there. But I was going to say that on my bucket list, one of the things that I've always wanted to do was go to Livingston in Zambia, which is in the south of Zambia near Victoria Falls. And because that's a town they named after David Livingston. And he's kind of a hero of mine for the work that he did over his years. And just really appreciated his ministry and so forth. So they named that city after him. And I'd love to be able to go to Livingston and say that I've been there. So who knows? We may do that, Lord willing. Well, let's stand to our feet, and without any further ado, we're going to invite Brother Ronnie Kapisha to come and take the service this morning, and you help him and operate your part of the gift, which is about 50%, and pulling on that gift that makes it so much easier for a minister, especially someone who's never been here before, and so we would invite you to enter in and do that. Just wanted to show you this as well. This is, I've got my first copy of the Church Age book that's printed in Tagalog, which is a language in the Philippines. This was also printed in the Philippines, which is really great. And you remember Sister Chichi Soriano. Most of you might remember Sister Chichi. Her husband, Roel, who passed away a few years ago, he translated this. This is his last project that he did, and translated this Church Age book into the Tagalog language because they had no translations in that language. And so he labored on that for a number of years, about 6 years. And finally, now it's in print, and it's being distributed now in the hands of the believers over there. So they're just really excited about that, and they're really enjoying the new book over in the Philippines. So we're thankful for all that and all the work that goes into that. So let's sing this morning, and let's sing that little chorus, Have Your Way. And we're going to turn it over to our brother Ronnie and let him take his liberty this morning.
Have your way. Have your way. Oh,
Greetings, dear beloved friends, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And you may take your seats for a little while. I want to thank and appreciate Brother Barry. He's been a very good friend of ours. He didn't know that he has done a great, great job. And long time ago, most of the times we would receive those the cassettes and whatever the videos, and it would be about the ministerial meetings that would be holding with Brother Lon Jenkins, and we'll be getting those in Zambia, and I was so interested in that, and most of the time we would be having that, and I would call the ministers that we were working with in Zambia, and we would sit around that and have a ministerial meeting from a ministerial meeting. And that helped us a lot, Brother Barry. I want to say thank you so much, Brother and Sister Kofi, for welcoming us. It is such a wonderful special secretary to Brother Kofi. Thank you so much for receiving us, and thank you also to our dear beloved friend, Brother Wellington, that picked us from the hotel, and also Brother Aaron that was with us, picked us from the airport yesterday and took us around, and we at least had a glimpse, and we had at least some historical facts about Charlotte. I must say that Charlotte is actually some Christian city, because most of the people, even in the hotel, sometimes you see some gathered and they would pray before they eat. So you can tell that it's roughly around that. And we had quite a momentous time yesterday, visiting the Billy Graham Memorial. My, that was great. And we want to thank you so much for having such men that you can have them follow the instructions and do the best that they can for the visitors that are coming to make it comfortable. And I also want to say we have benefited so much in this work, the mission vision that Brother Barry has. Zambia is one of those countries that has benefited a lot. I, having that burden also of mission work, done the little that I can do with, by God's grace, opening up many churches in our country, up to 30, and placing pastors in those places. And when Brother Barry came, we had the ministerial meetings in most of those churches. I went there, got into there by God's grace, and then raised up, ministered, evangelized, witnessed to the people, and churches came up. And that's what is happening in our country. We love the message. We love the prophet so much. And that's God's grace to have that. And when we have support for what he's doing, he has told you that I was with Voice of God. I worked with Voice of God for over 30 years. And finally, it was not so. I think I became a misfit in that I'm a pastor, and I know what it means to be a pastor. I know what it means to reach out into the jungles and get people believe the word using this message of the hour. And at that time, I was one of those advocating not to stop printing books, because these books can be personalized. You read, you mark it. It becomes like a personal item. Now, coming into electronics, those things, sometimes they rub out and they break down, and you've lost all you've done. And we couldn't get through that, and eventually the printing stopped in at Voice of God. And then, of course, other materials came in, like the tablets and what is being distributed. But that has become so difficult because it's expensive. It would be difficult just to raise books for one country. You can imagine Congo is about hundred thousands of believers. One church, I don't know if you've been to Mbujimayi, in Vibidila's church, there's about over 15,000 people per gathering. So you can see it would be very difficult to cover all the areas. And that stopped. And on the other hand, we had polarized areas. These that are sending books, sending material, began to bring in instructions. And it was difficult to cope up with that. I lost favor with Voice of God. And I lost favor with pastors who thought I was a Voice of God man, staunch and that. So I just remained alone. I thank God that Brother Barry Coffey had to hunt for me. Thank you for coming, sir. He had to hunt for me. I think he was introduced to me by Brother Harold. And when he came over to say, Brother Harold talked to me about you. And I certainly appreciate from that time. We've had favor with the Lord. And most of the books that are coming, were coming over into Malawi, into some other places, they also reached us. And at this time when I was visiting this side, Brother Barry called for me and asked if we could meet to talk about our mission work. And I was so glad. I said I wouldn't. I said, honey, let's break this vacation this side and get over to Hickory Church and have that meeting. We came specifically for that meeting. And to me, I thought we would meet at the hotel, and that was all, and go back home. Now, he requested me, he asked me to take a service here, and which is a great. He was standing in the pulpit of a great man who's done so much work for the Lord. And I know that if I bring in something, I mess up a few things, you are grown up enough to say, no, we'll put that aside, we'll pick this one. And the rest is coming to clear it when he comes back where he's going. So he's a very, very good friend. We appreciate this ministry. I believe you all appreciate this ministry. It's a good thing to be with a man and see what he's doing and the burden he's carrying. And Brother Barry Coffey has had this burden. And we have benefited a lot with those books that are being sent, the Bibles, into those regions of Africa. Yes, in the towns and the cities, and you may say, well, they are getting on well and all that, but it's not all that easy because Africa remains Africa. There's a few people that will have something, but they can't even make it to provide for everyone. And the populations there. I'm glad that you have a good pastor who is also very good at geography, makes sure he shows you the parts of Africa, the maps and all that. And it's very easy now to follow and understand which parts is he talking about. Yeah. So with that, I want to say thank you very much, Brother Barry. Continue. I've got a burden, Brother Barry, and all the saints here. And that burden, I feel, when I heard this message, talked about it in some other place, it didn't leave me. And I thought it would be good for us to go in the same way and talk about it with you, share with you. I would like us to stand and read scripture. We are going to read in the book of Jude. We read the book of Jude. Jude is just one book. And it's just one chapter, of course. Jude, we'll read from verse 1 through 4. Then we'll pray and sit. And then thereafter, we'll continue on as we delve into the word. If you've got Jude 1, verse 1 through 4, or we can just say 1 through 4. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, and godly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you and give glory and honor to your holy name for this great time you've given to us. Lord, I solely depend upon your anointing and inspiration. Grant it, Lord, speak to me, speak to your people. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may take your seats. Now, I want us to talk about contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. Contending for that faith. Brother Branham has preached this message in several places about contending for the faith that was given to the saints. And quoting the prophet in 54:04:04m, paragraph 24, for those of you that will follow, he says, earnestly, somewhere in the middle, he says, earnestly contending for the faith. Now, what is to contend? Contend is to debate or stand and hold fast on your conviction. For what? Earnestly contend for the faith. Not a faith. The faith. Now he says we have lots of religions, lots of ceremonies, but there's only one faith that you should earnestly contend for. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now the prophet goes further and he says, when he's saying earnestly contending for the faith, not a faith. Now we know very well that each and every one of us have got our own principles. Probably what we are brought under, what we have learned of, what we have heard, and we keep holding on to that. And that we can have faith in that particular thing, depending on what that thing has done to our lives. Now, that can be a faith that you're holding on to. Maybe a certain religious faith. Maybe a certain opinion that you can hold on to that seems to be more popular. But all that cannot bring people together. Because we all have different opinions, different feelings, different faiths. But this time we are talking about the faith. The faith, which means it's a common faith that engulfs all of us. That faith in which each and every one of us are drawn into. That's what we have to contend for. That faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now the prophet is saying, on paragraph 25 of that message, he says, now remember, this is just 33 years after the inauguration of the church at Pentecost. 33 years later, there has been such a falling away until Jude here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is sending the letter to the churches to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now, he's talking about 33 years, that period, the people had started falling away from the inauguration of the church at Pentecost. And Jude was so concerned that he had to write this letter. And Jude says, contend for the faith, because other people had gone unawares, had gone in unawares, and caused their faith to dampen down. And you see, he says, 30 years after Jesus Christ, before Paul came in, Jude writing this letter. Paul came in around 50 to 60 AD. This is the last book, but Jude wrote it early. Just like us, we are now 61 years after the prophet after the prophet's going. And after the prophet has gone, can you imagine those of you that have been old enough, who saw, who heard what was there? And some of the you men that were close to the prophet or close to those elders that were so close to the prophet. How the time was then. How the message was then. And look at the time that we are living in now. How far have we gone? Or should I say, how far apart have we gone from the message? That's one thing we need to be reminded, to contend for that faith, to begin getting back to that faith. Then we can understand in the time we are living in now and say, Lord, then that's true. When the prophet was seeing the bride preview, and towards the end of the line of the bride, as they were marching, one or two were getting out of step. And the prophet shouted and said, get back in the line. That meant a lot. That also had to come in. It's for the bride. He was not speaking outside of the bride. Now I want to remind you, beloved ones, I'm sure this you've been reminded several times. We keep talking about the end time. We talk about Laodicea. But the fact is that we are not in Laodicea. We are at the end of the end time. And if it's the end of the end time, the prophet is calling it the bride age. And if we are in the bride age, then we can't waste time now talking about the denominations. We have already come out of the denominations. And the time that we are living in now is the bride to be shaped, the bride to be prepared for rapture. When the prophet says rapture is in those messages, lays in those messages, it means that it's not for the denominations. It's for the bride who have been called. And they are being prepared for that rapture. If the bride is being prepared for that rapture, the devil can't just leave the bride like that. He has got to infiltrate it again to try and cause confusion. But we thank God that God preserves his own. And in preserving his own, he puts a burden upon some, like we would have men, elders like Brother Barry Coffey and the others, have that burden to have this the message printed. Despite the cartel, if something has been stopped, somebody has got to do the work. That's the reason, beloved ones, we are looking and emphasizing and contending for the faith. Now, if it was that time things went that way, we begin to earnestly contend for the faith, then there's something wrong. Something has gone wrong. Because you can't be sent, you can't be given that message that contend for something when there's nothing to contend for. But then, faith is moving away. You know, scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, it means that if there is a problem, if we have to contend for the faith, then there's a problem. And the problem is the conflict of faith. There's conflict in faith. Why? Because people are not being preached the same everywhere. They are not listening or hearing to the same things everywhere. And because they can't hear the same thing, they can't have the same faith. Because faith comes by hearing. Now it depends what source you're hearing from. That's where the problem is. The prophet talks about the Catholics and Baptists having different faith. And he says, those needed to come to the original faith, the spoken word. But now, during that time, the prophet was speaking to the denominations and calling out a bride. And you and I have responded to that call. And we have come out of denominations. And as we have come out of denominations, once again, this message is having an impact upon us. We are still contending for that original faith. Why are we contending for that original faith? It's because some men, the Bible says, have crept in unawares. And if they crept in unawares, then it just worked out like it's a normal thing. People continue worshiping, continue listening to the tapes, they continue having fellowships, but not realizing that the devil has crept in. But the devil doesn't just come in as a spirit, that he uses also human beings. So he must creep in. As we know, those disciples never knew that Judas was to betray the Lord. If those disciples knew that Judas was to betray the Lord, I'm sure they were the first ones going to get rid of him. But it means that the devil crept in. They were not aware, but the Lord knew that he's among them. And at this time also we know that men crept in unawares. At this end time, at this time of preparing the bride, the devil also must come in. But how are we going to stop him? By contending for that faith. Now the prophet says in his definition, he says to contend is to stand for, to debate, to stand firm against it, to support what you believe. Beloved ones, there were men that believed the word of God, that believed the message of their time. In the Church Age book, the prophet says, those In Ephesians, it says, you love the Lord, and he says, you have tried them that say they are apostles, and you have found them to be liars. And the prophet says, how did they find them to be liars? He says, they gave them the word test. And the word test was the message of that time. If that can happen that way, we had those men that would prove those, the real believers, would prove whoever came, and they checked them with the word. It's the same thing with now. We have to have believers that are firm enough, that are strong enough, that are bold enough, that they can approach a preacher and say, brother, I think you've gone astray, because that's not what the message says. In that time, they would say, this is not what Moses said. They tried every prophet. Now, we are not going to be scared of the miracles or whatever. This time we are living in, the prophet says, there will be imitators. There will be those that were... That did the same things like the prophet did, Moses, Jannes and Jambres. And the prophet says, after the mysteries are opened, it's this very time that again Jannes and Jambres comes on the scene. They may have miracles, they may do whatever, but that doesn't shake us. Because we know the miracles that the prophet did also, which we believe God is still healing. But that was also a bait to bring us to the real thing, which is the word of God. And the real thing is the seed. Now remember, you are a seed and you receive the seed. And once you receive the seed finds ground in the genuine seed. The deep calleth unto the deep. Because you are the spoken word, children of God. And the seed is the word of God. And when you receive it, it finds ground in you. Then you have got everything. You've got healing within you. Nothing can shake you. So now, when we look at this, we must know this contending for the faith. What do we do? What should be the answer to this? Paul, I thank God that Brother Branham said, I preached what Paul preached. Now, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through 13, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Speaking the same, being joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Now, if we have the same mind, then we can have the same judgment. Are we together? And how can we have the same judgment? If we have the same judgment, then we are speaking the same. If we can't speak the same, then we go back to what? Babylon. When God scattered them at Babylon, which is called confusion, what was the problem? He worked on their speech. And if the speech was different, their minds were different. Yes. And if their minds were different, their faith became different. Yes. And if their faith became different, then they divided. Amen. That's how they scattered. It's the same thing, the same language that scattered people that God used again on the day of Pentecost, where they spoke in tongues, and all those could hear them in one language. And he gathered them again through the language. When these were Galileans, they still spoke what other languages? Other people could not, they couldn't understand those languages. But when the Galileans spoke, each one heard them in his own language, which meant that God was doing something great. He scattered them at Babylon. Now he's bringing them. And at this end time again, if you hear the prophet says, at Babylon, they were scattered. On Pentecost, they were brought together. Again, at the end time, the same, the language, again, tongues, will begin to scatter people. Amen. Why? Because they are understanding differently. Amen. We thank God that we can have men, and you brothers supporting such men like him, that can have the burden to print books and send them out in the countries there, where whatever language people hear, it will draw them to the message. Isn't that good? So Paul says, speak the same thing. Then in verse 11 he says, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that they are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You hear that? Now, at this time, when Paul also was writing this letter, people now had begun to divide. What was happening? What they were hearing? Each one had a favorite preacher. Some were of Apollos. Some were of Paul. Some were of Cephas. Then he says, is Christ divided? Did Paul die for you or Apollos? Yeah, right. And I want to ask you, beloved ones, with the time we are living in, who among us or which preacher died for us? We have one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that died for us. And when we contend for faith, we must all be drawn to Christ. And anything that will draw men unto themselves, then it's a wrong movement. He says, that's why Paul emphasized in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. He says, but though we or an angel come from heaven, an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Why did Paul emphasize on this? It's because already he knew the devil was creeping in. Paul himself later in that, he says, there are men who have crept in order to spy on us, in order to bring us into bondage. Do you see that, beloved ones? Now, the early church, Paul is saying, let him be accursed. Whoever does this, let him be accursed. Why? He knew that this message, which he heard then, was a judge even unto the angels. The message then we have now is also a judge to anyone, not even the heavenly angels. Because God vindicated this message of the hour. He vindicated it. Now, The early church had one faith, one Lord, and one baptism, and one revelation. Whatever Paul preached, that's what the rest of them preached. And God only accepts one faith. That's why where John left, Jesus picked. Where Jesus left, Peter picked. Where Peter left, John picked, and so on. And Paul, when he was called, he says, I'm a man called out of season. But the same Paul, with such an experience with the Lord, was humble enough to go to Jerusalem and check up what he was preaching with those who were there. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 through 20, he says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And there Paul, when he says, I went into Arabia, the prophet says he went to prove. He went to study. This which has happened to me, is it in the word? Having studied it, so he compared that. And when he was convinced, then he says, all right. Then he went on preaching. And when he went on preaching, after 3 years of preaching, he says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with them 15 days. But other of apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Now he says, after 3 years, he went to Jerusalem. What do you think he went to Jerusalem for? He went to meet those because he wanted to speak the same thing with them. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 2, he says, then 14 years after, that was 3 years after, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Here's a man who was acquainted with miracles. He is a man who experienced the pillar of fire. He is the man who heard the voice of the Lord himself. He is a man who was struck down by Christ himself, and he told him that it's Christ, I, Jesus, who you're persecuting. And he was not so proud yet. But what he did, he says, I must go again after 14 years. Let's have a ministerial meeting. This time around, I'm going to take Barnabas and Titus with me. And he goes with them to Jerusalem. And when he got there, now listen to what he says. At that time, it's because false brethren had crept in. He says in Galatians chapter 2, The same Galatians chapter 2, he says, verse 3 and 5, he says, but neither Titus, who was with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. I don't know, is that where you're reading? Yes. Was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, that which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So now he's emphasizing here, there are those who are again coming secretly, privately. That's the same thing Jude is talking about. And they came in to spy. And when people want to spy on you, they want to find something they can trap you on. That's all. And he says, we never gave them place. We never gave place to them for the sake of the gospel. He says, then he goes further, verse 9, he says, and when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same thing, the same which I also was forward to do. So now here we see Paul going to Jerusalem for a ministerial conference. They are given the right hands of fellowship by Peter, James, and John. He takes the young ministers as well. And sometimes when brethren would talk about ministerial meetings, others would say it's a ministerial association. But this is in the Bible. This is Paul wanting to compare. When anything comes up, if anyone comes up with a revelation, the first thing you will know that that force is they don't want to meet and discuss with other ministers. They don't want to discuss on the word and the message. They want to keep themselves away. And that's the devil that keeps us apart. Because the original, the contention for the word, for the faith, was always to bring people together to speak the same thing. Amen. Paul says it, and I want you to know that Brother Branham says it and emphasizes on some of those things. In the message, Taking Sides with Jesus, 620601, paragraph 83, the prophet says, and then in there, get training in your own groups. Other ministers, men that you see has a calling in their life for the ministry. Train them, young men. Bring them in here to the elder. All of you sit together in a ministerial meeting. And they teach the deeper things of God. Don't go on the bad end. This is Brother Branham in the message. Now, he's not saying open theological colleges. He's saying we have a special training amongst our own groups. In your own groups. See the young men who have got a calling. Bring them in here to the elder. That's where we have a problem. We are failing to recognize also elders. Yes, Paul recognized those who were before him. Despite the experience he had, he wanted to compare. Have I run in vain? And to keep this message or the hour intact and to speak the same is when we can have pastors and ministers meeting. If they avoid to meet, remember, in the Bible, when Jeroboam rebelled against Solomon. Where he went, what did he do when he took the 10 tribes of Israel? He said, "Behold, O Israel." And he put idols in Shechem there and another place. And when he put those idols, and then he says, "Don't go to Jerusalem. Behold, your gods are here. Worship them." The Bible says he knew that if the people go to Jerusalem to worship, they will know the truth. They will get to the original. Look at what happens now in this message at the end time. People would rather print their own things. They will write their own books from their own minds and tell people, "Don't listen to the tapes." Now, again, I don't want us to be fanatical. Because, again, you can be listening to a tape and become what? An extremist. And this, I will tell you, it's become so bad. Maybe you are not experiencing it here, but sometimes in our places we experience it, that people would be listening to a tape and they just say, "Press the button, that's all." And they listen to the tape. They are listening to the tape. And the tape says, "We meet next Wednesday." And the next Sunday they skip worship because the prophet said, "We meet next Wednesday." Now they are saying they are following the tape to the core. Now, it's not parroting. It's getting, the prophet says, when you listen to the Bible, it's a love letter. When you listen to the message, it's the interpretation of the love letter. And that, he says, if I write a letter to my wife, and I'm saying, I'm doing this now, or she says, "I'm preparing the kids and doing this," in between there, the prophet says, "I can read something, the love between us." And to us, it's a revelation. When we read, we listen to the tape there, that something speaks to your heart. And that speaks to our hearts differently. It's a special message. Now, if you're listening and you begin to impose your own ideas, then it loses the meaning. Where people would want to get married and they don't want to have a pastor bless the marriage. They want to put a tape where Brother Branham is marrying a couple, married a couple 1965 or 63. And whilst they are listening, the prophet is saying, "John," or whoever, "put a ring." And Ronnie, who is in 2026, must also follow John's instructions of 1965. Wow. It isn't that way. No, I want to tell you, beloved ones, the scripture does not lie. Scripture says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published. Which means in publishing, there were a lot of people involved. And God wants to use each and every one of them. God wants to use each and every one of them. In the message, there's a prophet testifying. The prophet says, "I was moving and I was, the police stopped me and they asked me, 'Sir, where are you going?' And the prophet says, 'I'm from Jerusalem going to Jericho.'" He meant he was coming from Tucson, going to another place. He said he called the other place Jericho. Now, does it mean that if Brother Barry is coming from Hickory, going to another place, he will say, this is Jerusalem? Isn't that starting a movement? Brother Branham had a sense of humor also. Now, the sense of humor is not the message. Because the sense of humor can be understood in America, but cannot be understood in Zambia. Because we have different languages. But the message will be understood in Zambia. Whether you are an American, that message, when he begins to preach, everyone understands it. And that's one thing we must know, that this time around, we must contend for the faith. Hold on to what is true. Hold on to what is right. And stand with that. You, with your family, like Joshua said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Serving the Lord means obeying the word, the message of the hour. He says it here. He says, false brethren came in secretly, and that was in Paul's time. So he says, but neither Titus was who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares who came in privately to spy at our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue. Then he says, but James, Cephas, and John, that seemed those who were pillars, who were elders. What did they do? They gave them a right hand of fellowship. Any pastor, any minister that refuses or fears to meet another over the word, there's something wrong. Jeroboam says, if they go to Jerusalem, they will know the truth. And today, you can hear even others again who say, don't listen to the tapes. And they produce their own books. There must be a balance. We must have people that will hold on to the word. Yes, you can give a quotation and say, the prophet says, the tape ministry is a worldwide ministry. That's true. That's true. He did not say pushing the button is a worldwide ministry. He says the tape ministry. Now, do you know what he says about the tape ministry? He says the Lord told him, keep this message on tapes, so that when you are gone, they will listen to this. Now, one thing. If Brother Barry, if the prophet didn't put the message onto tape, and he had gone, how were we going to be? How many movements were going to come out? Because then we would have men who said, I walked with the prophet. Junior Jackson did. Gordon Lindsay did. Even T.L. Osborne did. So what sort of movements would we have now? Because each one would say, I walked with the prophet, and they would go with one limb of their revelation. But God, who is wise, preserved that. That we now, despite whatever comes, we will go back and say, what does the prophet say? It's a worldwide ministry, because the tape ministry. When we are quoting now, let me tell you, it's a tape ministry. Tape ministry is not just pressing the button. Tape ministries, we are speaking the same. We are quoting what the prophet says. God told Joshua, let this be on your lips. Talk about this with your children in the home when you sleep. Meditate on it when you're dining. Talk about it with your families. This is what we are doing. It's a tape ministry. Because the tape is what was instituted that we could listen from. The prophet says, in those jungles of Africa, those ministers who have their the what are those earpieces in their ears, listen to the tape, and then they will speak to their people in their languages. It's still a tape ministry. What's the difference if I read the book, I listen to the tape, and then I go speak to my people? That's a tape ministry. That's what it means. Now, we don't raise a movement out of there where we have an headquarters to control. That's what the prophet says is against organization. Because organization that separates brotherhood is not right. Help us, brethren. Let's pray together. Let's unite with the word and the message of the hour. The prophet says, get training. It means that every pastor who has a burden must bring up men who has a mission-oriented ministry, has got a burden to bring and also a burden to plant churches. Now the prophet says in paragraph 114, I see my time, the time is moving so fast. I have to quickly cope up with the time. 114, the same taking sides with Jesus in that paragraph, he says, wouldn't it be wonderful to see a brother up here from Utica, Brother Chris, or of you other brethren here, come together, meet, come into a place. You ministers, sit together and discuss things. You've got to have fellowship somewhere. You've got to have something to come together, to kind of get together about. You all come together as a group of men and believe one with the other. And like that, and discuss these problems. And set out maybe once a month, just ministers alone. Let you meet somewhere in one of your churches. Sit there and discuss it. And talk it. Each one of you pastors and evangelists and whatever you are. And if you can get the preachers straight and him going right, look what he's going to do. He is going to influence. It would take care of hundreds of these things. So you can see now the prophet was emphasizing. Now, when we believe the message and each one is leading a church, he says, I'm sovereign. Don't you ever come to me, I'm sovereign. We are not talking about your sovereignty. We are talking about speaking the same thing. We have fellowship in the word of God. No one is a bishop over another. We are all same, we are all one. But definitely, even Paul, who set the church in order amongst the Gentiles, still recognized the elders of that time. He gives an example, he says, like Jethro said to Moses, why? You can't beat out all of them. And he says, and God put elders there, 70 of them, and took the spirit that was on Moses and put it upon those 70 elders. And they prophesied, and it didn't weaken Moses a bit. It strengthened him. Oh my. If Brother Barry could say, Brother Ronnie, can I have a ministerial meeting with you, with your group? It won't weaken him. He will just impart more knowledge unto me. And whatever we discuss, you also take it. We learn a lot of things in that kind of fellowship. And if we would be that way, then how would it be? Hebron Tabernacle in Lusaka would speak the same as Hickory Church in North Carolina. We would all be speaking the same. But now, the devil does not like that. The prophet says in God's rapt gift, he says, paragraph 31, 60, 12, 25, paragraph 31, he says, I think it would be a good thing, Brother Neville, if them brethren, all you pastors and so forth, that we might come together, that way we can speak the same thing everywhere. Look at the emphasis. Look at the burden of the prophet. And that's one thing we pastors or the so-called great men avoid. We do not want to cling to somebody's opinion. We want to cling to God's word. They were men. And I would like to say to you, beloved ones, you are great men and great women here. They were men who were fearless. There was a man in the Bible, and that's Apollos. The Bible says he was eloquent. He was a lawyer. The prophet says he was a lawyer converted to the word. And he started preaching. The prophet says he was a Baptist. He only talked about the baptism of John. But there was also Aquila and Priscilla. They were not apostles. They just called him. They said, come here, brother. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 18, verse 24 to 26, you go read that. I want to shorten that. They instructed him in the way of the Lord. They began to speak boldly to them. They took unto him and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Which means that servants of God are not people that should be feared. It's good to sit down. You are so good in this. You're so good in preaching baptism. But do you know this? And when Paul went to the same place, the prophet says, Aquila and Priscilla told him that, wait, Brother Paul is coming. And Paul came and asked the question, Apollos, you Apollos people, have you received the Holy Ghost since you received? They said, no. We have never heard of such a thing. That's strange. How were you baptized then? They said, okay, we were Baptists. Says, no, now we have moved. We are in the message of the hour. You were being baptized that you may know that Christ has come. And they believed that God baptized and they received the Holy Ghost. That's the same way we want that kind of leadership. The prophet says in the messages, the eagle stareth up her nest. Paragraph 5, 59:08-15, he says, my ministry is a ministry trying to unite the body of Christ together. Not unite denominations to one denomination, but unite brothers and sisters as one group of people, one in purpose, one in hurt, one in unity, to see the coming of the Lord Jesus. If that's the ministry of the prophet, that's the ministry of Brother Barry, that's the ministry of Kapisha, that should be the ministry of each and every servant of God. That's proclaiming the message of the hour. To unite the body of Christ together, not to a denomination. Now, we have come out of denominations. What about us then? Then we can unite people to individuals instead of to Christ. Because we begin to have favor. You know, the prophet says, find the church. Don't float from pillar to post. Find your own church. But people have gone worse now. They are floating from one meeting to another meeting because of a certain particular man they envy, a certain particular pastor they love, or preacher. That's not the way. When God ordained Hickory Church to be there, he had a purpose for you to be here. And God is able to equip you and feed you and give you all that you desire. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you believe, whatever you ask for, God will grant it unto you. The same way, there's no other tinsel or something that will shine out there that would should attract you to cause confusion. No. When we can meet, we can have these brethren come to this Hickory Church and they can preach. The pastor knows what is feeding the church. I know I'm one of those. He has never heard me preach, but he risked to have me here. But I hope and trust that we can get these and understand them, because there are things that he advocates for, I'm sure. Now, there's men crept in unawares. That's where the problem is. The prophet says in the message, the same message, he says, so they went and got an old backslidden prophet back there by the name of Balaam. That's right. And he loved money more than he loved God. Yet he had a gift. We know that. But he's money crazy. Now you can see the problem. There's Balaam. What did Balaam do? You know. He was hired by the king Balak of the Moabites. Who were the Moabites? The cousins to the Jews, to Israel. We can say they are the same people who believed in the same God, who believed in the prophets the same way. But here is Balak hiring a prophet to curse the fellow brethren. Now, a gift is not meant to curse people. A gift is meant to build. A gift is meant to perfect the bride of Christ. Now, that's where we should see it. You know the whole story? I can just cut it quickly. Here's Balaam. Now he's told, curse Israel. And he goes and prepares an altar. And he prepares it the same way that Moses did it. And God receives that offering. And God answers Balaam. And he tells him, don't go. You cannot curse what God has blessed. Then he goes back to Balak and says, no, I can't do it. Because God loves those people. Then he says, no, come here. Don't you need more money? Don't you need this? Then he goes, prepares again. And he says he was so blinded that even an ass spoke to him and he was so stubborn. I can't understand. Who among you brethren, who even your own dog that you're used to can speak to you in your own language and you will still stand and be firm enough? A dog would speak to you in English, pure English or pure American English. Like it's that ass spoke to Balaam. And you know what Balaam did? He says, you're even speaking. I can cut off your head. Now, if a man can become so stubborn, you can now understand that how a gift can destroy a person. That when you want to talk to them and correct them and show them the right thing in the word of God, they will still be stubborn. If they can't listen to an animal, who will they listen to? When a man is bent to do what is wrong, it's very difficult. That's the reason why sometimes we just pray. Pray for them that God can give them light, not quarrel or whatever. Otherwise, you'll be caught in that web also. He says that. You know what Balaam did? Again, he goes back. No, I can't make it. Says, no, let me show you. Balak now takes him to some place, to the utmost part of Israel. Men spying on others. Now trying to see the weakest point of Israel. That's where the problem is. Brethren, let's not spy on each other. Let's not fault-find. Let's not be judgmental. Commit everything to God. Speak to your brother. Speak to your sister. Each and every one of us has got weakness, weak points. And now, because he wants to curse Israel, he has to show the wrong part of Israel. And he showed, said, look what they do. Look what they do. They think they love me. And God tells him, Israel is my special people. Through the blood that God had instituted, Israel was a beloved. Even you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe in that blood shed at the cross of Calvary. No matter how many faults they can impute on you, God knows the integrity of your heart and what you've given yourself to. And he knows in the course of time that you will make it. Because he foreordained you to eternal life. There were others. Remember those that fought Moses. Dathan and Korah. What was it? The problem? Popularity. Because Balaam was for money. Dathan and Korah was for popularity. They were saying, no, Moses has become more popular. Every time you talk to people, they will say, no, Moses says so. Moses says so. It's the same thing now. When we talk about Brother Branham, he says so, others get so offended. The messenger says so. People don't want that. They want themselves. They've placed themselves in the place of Brother Branham. When Moses left, God raised a Joshua. And our prophet has told us that that messenger, the Joshua ministry, was in Brother Branham also. Yes. And we that are preaching that are in the Joshua ministry. There's no one else that will be one to carry the mantle of a prophet. The message is gone. There's no eighth messenger. And if there's no eighth messenger, the only thing that we are waiting for, beloved ones, is rapture. How can we make it? Let's believe the message. Let's stay with the prophet. Beloved ones, I needed to just encourage you with a few things. Looking at our time, we also have to travel. And the pastor also has got to travel. But I love you so much. One time, the Lord willing, we will come back here and have fellowship. But also, I'm sure we are looking forward to have Pastor Kofi come over with our sister Becky. We would love to have that wonderful fellowship. I want you to look at these few things. One thing you must know, God has no respect of people. He respects his own word. Can we contend for the faith once delivered to the saints? Shall we bow our heads? As we bow our heads, I will call the pastor to come and close for us.
Let us pray. Why don't we stand to our feet and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word today. And thank you, Lord, for your ministers that come, Lord, and just reflect the mind of Christ to us. And we so appreciate that, Lord, very much. And we ask now that that word might find good ground in our hearts, Lord. And we might learn the valuable lessons that you are not a respecter of persons, but Lord, you truly are one who is respectful of those that walk in obedience to the word. And Lord, may we continue to walk in the light. We know that when we do, things will continue to unfold and reveal themselves. I pray, dear God, that you would just allow that word, Lord, to come alive in our lives, oh God, that it doesn't remain just thoughts we try to remember, but it turns into a life in us that we can live before man today in a falling world. And Lord, we can just reflect that light that comes from your presence. Have your way, Lord, we pray. Minister now to every heart as we worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm gonna keep pressing on. I'm gonna keep pressing on. I'm gonna keep pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. I'm gonna keep pressing. Say, Satan only proves you're a liar again. That's close.
Pressing on. I'm gonna keep pressing on. I'm gonna keep pressing on to the higher calling of mine.
Again, now. I'm gonna keep pressing on.
I'm gonna keep pressing.
Something this week that I never had done before in my life, and wound up in without planning it, wound up in Washington, D.C. And one of the things that I got to see this week was the actual copy of the Declaration of Independence, and it was just amazing. It, the original document, and there are several copies of it, but the original was kept by the government and kept in like a file cabinet of sorts for a document to be preserved through the ages. And as a result of that, it began to fade. And now when you go see the Declaration, you've really got to lean in and you've got to look at it to see the words, because it has faded so much over time. After all, it's about 250 years old. And so it was quite faded. And, you know, we had to really work to get a photograph of the Declaration. But it's still the same Declaration. Now, a couple of years ago, I was preaching in Idaho. And Brother Paul Hale is the pastor up there. And he asked, we were doing questions and answers at the end of the meeting. There's a point to all of this. And there was questions and answers. And he asked me from the audience, he said, what do you think is the greatest danger in the message today, in the message community today? And I thought about that for just a couple of seconds, and I answered him. I said, the problem that, as I see it, is the fade. The fade, after 61 years, the excitement and the reality and the you know the enthusiasm that should accompany the message of the hour, it fades over time. Now, the reason why they didn't think about preserving the declaration back when they actually signed it is because we'll always have this. It'll always be around. And they didn't realize it had to last years and years and years and years and years. And so, in a sense, it became a common thing. And as a result, the result of that is that it faded. And I think that one of the greatest threats that we have is that without giving the message of the hour, without giving the word of the hour, its right place, it will fade in your life. It'll fade among generations that come because they think, well, you know, we'll always have the message. It'll always be around. It's all I've ever known. It's I've been raised in a message church, and it'll always be there. But over time, what you don't realize is that without really a revelation of the message, without meeting the God of this message, it'll fade because it becomes just another teaching and another book and something else. Well, the pastor knows it. He quotes it. He puts it on PowerPoint. And, you know, we get to see it and so on. That's not the same as God dealing with you about it. That's not the same as God making that alive in your heart. And that's a real danger as generations come and go. It's a real danger that the word and the enthusiasm that should accompany the word, it fades. May God never let that happen. You should be standing there praying, Lord, don't let that happen to me. Don't let that happen in my heart. Lord, let me do as a father and a mother. Let me keep the word, you know, before my children. Let it be something that, you know, they want to read. They want to know. They want to experience. And they want to have something so precious in their life. And may we be agents to help that happen. And I think that's very important. I think that's really important. I feel like
going on.
Yes, I
feel like going on. The trials come, they come on every hand. I feel like going.
Things turn on.
unchanging hand.
And when the battle's over,
we shall wear a crown.
Yes, we shall wear a crown.
Oh, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new
should have your hands up, right? Let's sing it again. Let's sing it, because this is really true. When that battle's over, it's not even so much getting excited about the message when you hear it. It's over years and years and years, and just staying with that, staying walking in the light as he's in the light, walking with the Lord. That's a wonderful testimony to have. And I appreciate our brother walking all these years and serving the Lord. And there are, I'll tell you this, there are sermons. And there are good sermons, and then there are sermons that should be preached in every church. And today you heard one of those sermons that should be preached in every church, because there are some wonderful truths that are there. And you know, here's Brother Branham, and he comes along, he gets beyond the curtain of time for a minute, and he said, "Hey, where's Paul?" And he said, "He's here, he's just in another space, you know, but he's here." And Brother Branham's so excited because he's preached exactly what Paul said. Whatever Paul said, he said, that's exactly what I said. And that's the phrase that he uses over on the other side. The victory is being able to stay with that same message all through those years. And in the first church age, I'll tell you what, I could preach. I got pages of notes here. Do you mind if I steal everything you preached this morning? I'm going to steal that and preach that everywhere I go. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. That in the first church age, Paul comes out and identifies the problem. Yeah. He said there are brethren that have crept in unawares. There are people who have spied out our liberty. Yeah. There are people like Hymenaeus and Philetus who have preached another doctrine and so forth. And Paul's identifying the problem right from the start in the early church. And they are the people who are still living and had seen the disciples. And they were there probably in the crowd in the day of Pentecost and all of that. And right away, Paul's identifying the problem. And the problem is that Satan will come in and add something to it, take something away. Now you got a different message. And you know what? Here comes Brother Branham along the same way. And he challenged every denomination out there. And he said, go back in the Bible and find your teachings there. It isn't there. Baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost isn't there. Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is there. You got to come back to what the original says.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'll tell you what. I think every church ought to hear this. I think every one of us need to be weary of the drift and the fade that takes place. And when the battle's over,
we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem.
Wear a crown,
wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up and I won't turn back, 'cause I want to see my Jesus someday. Oh, goodbye world, I say so long to you. Goodbye pleasure of sin, I say so long to you. Made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Got my mind.
mind made up, and I won't turn back, 'cause I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, 'cause I want to see my Jesus someday.
Glory. I feel good. I feel good. I don't know how you feel today, but I feel good. If you feel good, let your face know it. I love this family of God.
Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you, Lord, for what it means to us. And now in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that it would be sown, Lord, deeply in every heart, may it be watered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we just walk forward with understanding. And may we pray that, Lord, in every heart, that the word would never fade, the enthusiasm and the zeal we have, a righteous and a holy zeal that we have for the things of God, it would never fade, Lord. And we would live a life that reflects the same gospel that was preached to the early church. That we would live a life that reflects, Lord, what you gave to the Gentile church through the ages. Lord, we give ourselves away to that. We give ourselves, Lord, into your hands now and pray that you would change us and transform us by the renewing of our mind. Lord, may our thoughts be your thoughts today. Minister to those who are sick, those who are needy, those who are listening today. We place them into your hands, Lord. And we thank you for Brother Ronnie and his wife and ask you, Lord, just to bless the balance of their trip, their family, Lord. And I pray that you would guide them safely back to their assembly again. And we'll give you thanks in the wonderful and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Every praise is to our God. Every praise. Let's sing it today as we go. God bless you. If you get a chance, shake Brother Ronnie's hand. He's got to go to the airport this afternoon, but if you get a chance to shake his hand and say God bless you, we'd love to have you come back, Brother Ronnie, and when we could have some more time and we could have a more ministry for sure. That would be just wonderful. God bless you as you go. We'll see you on Wednesday, Lord willing.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Savior. dismiss every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise is to our God.